Welcome to Mission Critical, a podcast about the big picture, the purpose, and the values that drive today's most game-changing companies, entrepreneurs, and leaders. I'm your host, Lance Chung, Editor-in-Chief of Glory Media, and I'll be introducing you to a group of brilliant minds who are making an impact on the world and forging the path ahead. While they may all be very different from each other, the question remains the same. What's your mission?
Jake, thanks so much for hopping on. And I know you've got a really busy day, really busy schedule. How long are you here in town for?
Another 8 hours. I got here two days ago, though. So I did a lot in 2 days, but I'm on the verge of exhaustion, deep exhaustion.
You need a vacation. Where's the first place you're going to go to for your next vacation?
Great question. So people always say, when are you going on a vacation? What are you going to do? And I think the vacation for me is staying in Montreal. Because I travel over 100 flights a year, I actually don't want to see another airport. So
yeah.
Driving, I don't know. I'm not down for the driving. So I think vacation is home.
That makes total sense. Because your schedule is a complete reverse where you're literally on a plane all the time.
Horrible.
Where are you coming from? Where were you before Toronto?
So, no, I was Montreal, but okay. I'm going to New York next week, then back to Toronto, then to Montreal, then to Las Vegas, then to Toronto, then back to Montreal. But you know what it is? It's like, I don't do any ops in our business. So I don't do any of the operational aspect of Midday Square. So I do a lot of like the friendships, let's call it, or the network of the brand.
Right.
So I don't have to be in my office, which are factories in Montreal. So when I'm home, I don't really go into that environment. I'm always like trying to figure out ways to recharge because when I am on the road, I need to give energy. I need to be able to give high performance energy, like an athlete, actually.
Totally.
And Montreal is supposed to be recharged, but recently it's been the opposite.
Yeah. Well, you guys have had, I want to go over this throughout our chat too. And obviously, you know, you guys have built up a really incredible social media presence. You yourself, just as a personal brand, you've built up a great social media following too. Does that give you, like, do you like being on social media or does that give you energy and does it come naturally to you or is it something that is like that you are, it's just a kind of like another task on your list?
So I think that it's become like a dopamine circuit hit, which is so dangerous. You know, it's become part of my life, fully immersed into my life. And it's how I connect with people. So social media gives me an opportunity to connect with anyone I want. And I say anyone because I truly believe the power of social media with good content and energy where you go physically to places as well. If you combine those two, you can meet the next president, you can meet the prime minister. It doesn't make a difference. And so I utilize it for those kind of reasons. And while I'm doing it, it's become like, hey, here's my story of my life. So here's my business story of Midday Squares, but here's Jake Carl's story as well. So I'm kind of like too intertwined with it. And now it's become like where I'm not present a lot of the time in the moment with people I care about tremendously.
Mm.
And then that's hurting my personal life. So then what's happening is this dangerous cycle. And I don't want to give it up because I see the power of it. But I am myself on social media. So I'm not acting different.
Yeah.
But it's taking up an immense amount of energy, which I wish I was actually putting towards conversations with family, friends, my wife. Which I haven't been dedicating time to that, which
do
I need
have
to
do. Like a social media manager that's can handle all that for you now?
So for Midday Squares, we do. But personally, I don't for my personal brand. He'll help me with creating some content, but I'm very specific on what I like because I really want it to be true to my voice and who I am. And again, I got to get with the program and have someone do it for me because it's still eating away a lot of my time. But I think in the next coming months, I'm going to have either an organization do it for me or an individual. But I don't want to be surrounded by 24/7. I want to still be able to live my life. I travel every day. I don't need people to follow me around traveling because, you know, think about it. It's a lot of movement. And it's like sometimes you just don't want the content in your face, you know?
Yeah. Where do you get your energy? Because, you know, you operate, I feel like from, you know, I feel like I've actually met you a bunch of times, but it's actually the only... The last time that we met for the first time for coffee, the last time you were here. But you always have like this great energy. You're operating at like 110%. And like for me, it's like, you know, like Space Jam where they have like
the squirt.
And they get like that boost up. Yeah. So I'm like, what's your special sauce and where do you get your energy? Like what energizes you?
So two things energize me. Caffeine is definitely from a commodity standpoint is being pumped into my system, which probably isn't a great idea, but that definitely works. The second is people. So like, you know, when I met you the first time, I was tired, but I was energized by our conversation. We had a good time. We hung out, we had fun, we talked about life. And like, that gives me, that gives into the purpose of my life. So when you're playing into your purpose, the natural energy is created into your system, right? When you're living your own life authentically and you're living your purpose and your why, that is a boost of a real, it's like caffeine, but without the effects of having an external source, right?
Right,
so
right.
It's internal. So when I go on these trips, as exhausting as they are and the schedule packed as it is, when I am in this like one-on-one experience where I'm in my zone, that is real energy. Now, the problem with this whole thing is that I'm not taking time to recharge that tank.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going 110%. I am energized while I'm going. But when I get home, I feel completely depleted. I feel like I can't even say a word to someone.
Yeah.
So that's where I get entrapped into my phone on social media or reading, and it slows me down. And you know, the social media dopamine is not great, but the actual reading, when I take a book, actually I have a book with me, I brought one with me as I got here, that actually decompresses me and re-energizes me. So
yeah.
That it's kind of like a weird cycle because I need people, but then I need to be there. And if I don't have that, then I'm not feeling as energized. And I still haven't figured out my way in life. And I think that that's a life learning forever that you need to do.
It's a journey.
It's a journey forever. Yeah. I think it's an ever journey. And
yeah.
The moment I give up the hope of that, I think the moments I failed life, because I think life, if you want to win, you need delusional optimism and delusional self-belief. If you don't have that, the world will eat you away.
Yeah.
And I've blocked out a tremendous amount of noise, and it's helped me believe myself even when I don't even know things. Like I'm no expert in food. I can't even eat midday squares. I'm allergic to my product, but yet I'm able to sell it. I'm allergic to nuts and peanuts.
Okay.
So I've never tried midday squares, which is crazy. But I believe so much in the principles that we've created, the values, that I'm able to show this passion and energy authentically and belief in the brand that transpires to other people. They feel that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think that, it's a forever life journey. And if you don't believe that's a forever life journey, then something must be weird about you or off.
yeah, definitely. I mean, so you've done, you know, a lot of press and obviously your social media, you've done an incredible job of storytelling. So people are very aware and you guys have been very transparent about the whole journey. But just for housekeeping's sake, you are the co-founder and chief rainmaker at Midday Squares. What's the just overall elevator pitch for Midday Squares for anyone that might not be familiar? And then also, what does the role of a rainmaker entail exactly?
Great question. So Midday Squares is basically a new age chocolate bar. So think, what would Hershey's or Mars look like if it started in 2024, or we started in 2018, so 2018? It would look more like what we're creating. So a chocolate bar with protein, fiber, healthy ingredients, it's something you can have every day. We want to redefine that process of how consumers have chocolate. Now, we do a lot of other things that make the brand explicit. So we tell stories, we go crazy, we are unapologetic. And I think the why of the company is to show that we can win in a very saturated, crowded market by being truly ourselves. So that's what we want Midday Squares to embody every day. Now, a rainmaker, chief rainmaker, is a unique role. And it took time to figure out this role, because when I started the company, I was with my partners. They were co-CEOing. So my sister Leslie and my brother-in-law Nick. And I tried to be the CMO, chief marketing officer, because I wanted a manager role. And I thought that if you own a company, you should have a manager role. And I failed so bad. I was the worst manager one can ask for. And people were quitting underneath me. I was doing a horrible job with accountability. And I started to realize that I'm playing to my weaknesses that way. Mm. I was just trying to fit into what society says you need to do if you own a company or if you start a company. So then what I started to do is I started to ask myself deep questions. What am I good at? What is an actual life skill? And my life skill was making friends, you know, giving people energy, making them light a fire under their ass to be alive. And I realized that I can't do that being the CMO. It's not for me. Like I'm not in the bureaucracy. I'm not in the rinse and repeat process model. And I start to see these people that were working at investment banks and legal firms that weren't lawyers or investment bankers. And they were getting paid so much money. And I asked people what they did, these people, and they're rainmakers. And their job was to just build the network of the company. So they would go out and do biz dev, let's call it, but they would be out at sports matches. They'd be traveling the world, speaking, going in the press, doing things to attract people to relationships with them, which then would turn into the banking relationships or the legal relationships. So I said to my partner, I said, fuck, I'm good at traveling. I'm good at making noise. Let me make friends with people. And if those friends want to do business with us after, great. If not, they're still a friend of Jay Carl's. And when someone's a friend of yours, they're typically going to want to help you in your professional life as well. Mm-hmm. So I go travel the world to meet retailers, media, investors, and new team members. And all I do is just make them feel alive and make a friendship as if I were to make friends with a friend at high at university or high school at a party.
Yeah.
And when you build that genuinely, it actually 90% of the time turns into some sort of resource or relationship that will transpire to Midday Squares or will go to Midday Squares. And we've gotten millions of dollars through it in investments. We've gotten a tremendous amount of organic press from it. We've gotten tremendous retail partnerships that like have been so deep to the point where there's favors, there's deep rooted friendships where, you know, we do things for them, they do things for us. It's not a one way road. It's not transactional. And I think every company needs a rainmaker, but the rainmaker must be independent of the operation of the business. I don't do any ops. I don't care about ops. I don't want to be part of it. I don't have anything to do with it. I am independent. And it lets me break rules, do things that are crazy, you know, take my shirt off, dance naked. It doesn't make a difference. And I think that that's where I'm being authentic. And when someone's authentic, other humans crave that energy. We always want to be around people that are real and not people that are fake. It's like when a friend of yours, literally per different friend group, acts different. Eventually, you're going to either tell him or her that you're not down to hang anymore because you know that they're not that person and they're just being different for different groups. So if someone was being different for different groups and that separates you, then if you just are yourself, you'll attract the people that are supposed to be around you. So that's what I do every day. Make friends.
Was it like an aha moment for you where you, you know, you realized that you needed to play towards your strengths and the things that you naturally were good at versus things that I guess put you into a box of what the traditional role could have looked like for a co-founder?
Therapy, deep therapy. So when you don't not, when you're not doing your why in life, you feel like some emptiness, like you don't feel purposeful. And I started to like compare myself to a lot of people and I start to judge others, which was a weird thing. And like, I wouldn't be happy for your success at the time. This is like 3 years ago. And I start to say like, something's wrong. Like, why am I not happy that you're winning in your career? Like, I don't even know you that well. And like, I'd be like, I don't like that person.
Right.
And this negativity was like surrounding my life. And I was still going to therapy, but I was going to therapy with my partners. It wasn't so much individually. It was more like we were doing, you know, therapy as a partnership to keep the partnership strong. And then I finally just let it out. And I started working deeply one-on-one with my therapist. And we found that I was just lost. I was lost and my insecurities of just not being on my why and not doing what I love and, you know, being good at what I do made me feel really uncomfortable and maybe, you know, put others down. And when we worked through it, I ended up finding my why. And my why was, I really like to make people feel something deeply inside, spread good energy and be unapologetically myself. And that can turn into a role. Because if you're doing something great, it's your superpower. And you're doing your superpower, you are your best fucking version. And when you are your best version, I believe you're unstoppable. So I realized, and I spoke to my, I realized in that moment, I said, I need to do this every day. And how can I turn that into a role? And what I did is I told my partners, I said, guys, I'm done with ops in the business. And we had that open conversation. They said, finally. They were so happy that I actually found what I was good at. That they're like, go do you. And sometimes they won't even know where I am. And I don't even show up sometimes to board meetings. Think about it, I'm on the board of the company and I'll be out there and my board, they'll go, where's Jake? And my team, my partners will be like, trust me, he's doing something that will be of value and it's more value than him sitting here right now.
Right.
And they're like, fuck yeah. And they're like, and then they think back, all of our board members came from one location, originally becoming friends with me and then being brought back to the business. So it was a rainmaking operation. So this is what I do. And it took time. But again, it came from an unhappy place that I realized that I needed to play to my strength. And then I made a promise in my life that I would never play back to my weakness. I would always figure a way around it. That being said, you got to do some things that aren't fun. There's some things that I need to do that I don't like doing. But that's just part of the process. But it's like 10% of the time.
It's an interesting question to kind of pose to yourself. Like, am I the best version of myself? Am I playing to my strengths? Am I playing to, you know, set myself up for wins and not trying to put myself in constraints of what might be expected of me? I think it's not a question that we necessarily all ask ourselves regularly, because that's also like kind of like a check-in question that you would have with yourself too, right? So I love that for you.
Honestly, and the truth is like, what? So that why got me back to my why on business why specifically. So I was killing it on that. So for the last 2 years, my business why was on fire. But right now, like today, like we're talking today, I'm feeling deep exhaustion. So like something else is off. And now I'm asking that question again. Why do I feel lethargic? Why do I feel really tired every day? And physically, I understand I travel a lot and all that stuff, but there's something more to it. So I'm doing the deep questioning now regarding my personal life and figuring out what's up there. And again, therapy, having coaches, having people around you that you trust and that are strong in what they do is really important. Whether you're an entrepreneur, an athlete, you're a professional, you need coaching. None of us are perfect. And that's why every sports team has a coach, where every sports member has not just a coach, but they have a trainer, they have a physio, they have everyone to guide them to make them give the best performance as possible. And you can't just give your best performance in business without having your personal life doing the best performance as well.
How did you find, assemble kind of like your own personal Avengers team of like coaches and therapy? Like, how did you find the right people to be on your team for you?
So I started to realize that athletes spend a tremendous amount of money. I know they make a lot of money, but they spend a tremendous amount of money to keep their superpower going. So they surround themselves with nutritionists. They surround themselves with, you know, medical concierges. They have all this stuff. And I get it. LeBron James spends $2 million a year on his own personal team. I don't have that. But what it inspired me when I saw that was that if I want to perform at the highest level possible and then eventually return the highest amount to our shareholders and to give the best product to our customers and build the best community, I need to be feeling alive. I need to be feeling empowered. I need to feel energized, inspired. How can I do that? And what tools do I need? And I started saying therapy is one. So the business has that covered. Second is I hurt my back playing sports because I was so stressed with the tension. So I got a physio. I went through 15 different physios to find the one that I really like. Now I go once a week. Then I found a massage therapist that I see once a week. She's unbelievable in working the body the way I like the body being worked, in a very way that makes me feel less tension. But it took many different people to go through. Then the last piece is now nutrition. And now I just met somebody, he's out in Vancouver, and I'm gonna hire him as my nutrition coach. And I realize every time I get one of these types of coaching or spend the money and invest into myself, so the return is gonna be back on me, even though it's a big expense, I feel so fucking good. So yeah. I'm like, why am I choosing not? It's selfish not to invest in that. It's selfish to not figure a way to make all that happen. I don't have $2 million to spend, but I'm figuring my little Avengers team that's happening. And I call them when I need something and they're there as a team member, part of my team. And I think that everyone needs it. And even if you're not injured, even if you're not, check yourself. I'm telling you, we all need help. We all need to get better and we could all improve. It's just, you can't do it all by yourself. And I used to do it all by myself till I burnt out. And I realized that that was it. Like my body gave out on me.
Yeah. That was your body telling you
to get help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it plays games psychologically.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a whole idea of where I wanted this interview to go, but I think that this is more interesting too, because I don't think it's something that like a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners and creators or whatever it is talk about, and like trying to invest back into yourself and like building out the team and everything. But I guess, you know, kind of to bring that back into your work, you know, since you guys started the company and you've been building out your personal brand too, there's always been a very distinctive point of view, and you've always, you know, kind of talked about the importance of like transparency and being authentic. Where did you find your unique kind of perspective on business and how you wanted to have conversations about your company and the way you were running the company, that really kind of set it, you know, apart from everyone else?
So first off, in food and beverage, you go to a grocery, there's 40,000 products in a typical supermarket. Think about it. You're competing against just at retail in one store, 40,000 different products. And a lot of these companies, especially the bigger ones, have money to spend to buy up the front of the store so they could have the placements they want. And if you're a small business, you don't stand a chance. So I said to my partners, I said, even if we have the best product in the world, if no one knows about it, they ain't gonna buy it. Mm-hmm. And we'll die out. We'll go bankrupt. So I looked at them, I said, what can get people before they go to the store to look for that product? And we can't afford billboards. We couldn't afford TV ads. We couldn't afford radio ads or even editorials or anything like that. Small business, you have no money. And I'll never forget, I said to them, guys, let's look at Hollywood and TV, because TV has a lot of entertainment and they're good at storytelling. And I looked at the two shows. I remember Keeping Up with the Kardashians was one of them. And Shark Tank was another one of them. And I looked at what people liked about them. I asked people and they said, the drama from the family business of the Kardashians is something I like, the chaos and the drama. And the Shark Tank, they liked that the idea of an entrepreneur was pitching something and they could either fail or succeed. So it was not about so much the product. It was about the entrepreneur themselves. Like, it was that person that they cared about. So I looked at them and I said, whoa, what if we took a different strategy? What if we made a baby of these things? We're family business and we can show behind the scenes of how we build Midday Squares, where people will now look at this not as a chocolate bar, but as a company that they feel part of, because they will see breakdowns, milestones, successes, hires, fires, raising money, legal battles, anything that you never seen a company. If we show it, people will get an actual front row seat to feel what we feel. And that way, when they go to the store, it's a feeling. It's like, I know those people. I like them. I'm part of their community. And that way, out of the 40,000 products, even though we're one little shelf, one little space in the fridge, they're looking for it. And then it's shining bright to them, right?
Yeah.
And then a big part of that was, if we want to win in content and storytelling, you can't just tell a story and sell. Authenticity is the future currency of all marketing, in my opinion. Humans are craving it more than ever. So if you're just real, someone's going to be attracted to that energy. So I said to my partners, your private life's no longer private. If you want to build this business to hopefully a couple hundred million in revenue, $1 billion of valuation down the line in the span of 10-year build, that's not a lot of time to build a food and beverage company. Tech different, food and beverage very, it's a lot of manufacturing. Then we're going to need to show our lives. And good or bad, people are going to hate us or love us, but at least we'll evoke an emotion. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true, because in terms of like the actual size of the packaging, you guys don't take up a ton of shelf space. But I feel like I might have even messaged you one time after, I think, like a workout class, and we went to get like a snack at a Whole Foods. And I was like, I see them, you know? And it's like, you guys are immediately stuck out. And that's a result of a lot of the storytelling around it. I read in one of the interviews that you did in the past that you guys focused on building fans versus customers. What's the distinction? Why is that distinction so important?
So sports teams are a great example. I you know, or concerts or musicians, you know, you look at artists or boy or girl bands, let's call it. And yeah, they have music, but I said, what if we were to act like a boy or girl band, but instead of selling like records, which they sell, or concerts, we could still sell concerts, but we're selling a chocolate bar. But instead of focusing on the chocolate bar, let's build the fandom as if they're going to concerts. So speak a gig, do speaking gigs, get on a ton of podcasts, be in the face of people. That way they're becoming a fan of the feeling you give them. Because when you need a product and it's a commodity, it's like, okay, you buy it, you drink it, you eat it, you throw it out, next. Mm-hmm. You don't really care. But when you know that, you know, we're trying to get into Costco and you're cheering us on because we're hustling like dogs. My mom is on the front line sampling and she's doing it for free 12 hours a day. You're invested. You're like, shit, are they going to do it? Are they going to make it happen? And then you believe in the underdog story. You get behind it. And I know there's a movie called Air. I think it's about the Jordan brand.
Yeah.
And it talks, the last scene is like, people aren't, we don't, Nike doesn't need you because we want to sell more shoes. We need you to be in those shoes to make us feel something. It's all based on fandom. Mm. And fandom doesn't last, sorry, fandom lasts through good or bad times. Commodities don't. If you're gonna go through a hard time on your wallet, which we are, the economy is whatever, is not great, what are you gonna buy? Are you gonna buy things that mean something to you, or are you gonna buy things that mean nothing to you? You're likely gonna veer off to something that means something to you because there's something in here. And when it's in here, it's powerful. And it just takes a lot longer to build fans than it is to build customers. Because if I just sold you on the protein and fiber, the chocolate bar, maybe I get you. But if I sold you on fucking the hustle, the grind, building a Canadian business to export, to be huge in Canada, you get behind that. You're like, I want them to win.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, when we get bigger and bigger, I don't know what the story will be. But what I could tell you is, until we're there, we're an underdog. We're challenging chocolate and we're in the better for you space, but we're showing you a glass, literally a window with all the sweat and tears that go into it. And it's almost like, how could you not cheer this on?
Yeah. Yeah. With kind of your future aspirations, do you think that you can still be kind of like a big dog with an underdog mentality and occupy that underdog culture and space?
I think it's gonna be very hard. I don't know what we're gonna look like when we're at 100, 200 million in revenue in just North America. And again, things get more bureaucratic. Processes are needed, by the way, to scale. We're seeing it now. Now we're hitting our scale. Like, we're getting that hockey stick right now. It's starting to happen like in this next 6 months, I believe. And I'm seeing that the processes are being put in place that are quite strict. And I understand why they need to be. Mm-hmm. Now, the day that Midday Squares becomes like every other company, and I mean by that is, every other company that puts in the place where it's not so nimble, it's not so fun, it's not so much, it's more, here's a job getting paid for it, that's all, is the moment I give up my shares and I don't want to be part of it. And the reason I say that is because when you have an environment that makes you feel alive, you are alive. When you have an environment that's not great for you, you just are eating your soul away very quickly. So I really believe as we scale, we'll be able to keep the culture and soul of Midday Squares, meaning like be yourself, build this business, tell your story. But I think the three of us, Leslie, Nick, and Jake, will slowly start to veer in the behind the scenes, not be so, so front facing, and let Midday Squares as a brand represent something. Yeah. Rather than represent our story, it will represent, let's say, boldness or taking risks or being yourself. But it just won't show just Jake, Nick, and Les. And I think that that's where we will build our personal brands outside of that. But Midday Squares is part of our journey as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes total sense. So much of the discussions that you guys have around building the brand is, you know, the word authenticity has come up a few times in our conversation. What exactly does that word mean to you, though? Because it is a word that is kind of like bandied about, and a lot of brands use that. But it's hard for, you know, some people to pinpoint exactly what that means. So for you, like, how do you define that?
I feel like it's a buzzword nowadays. I feel like people use it as like a way, like you said, like just, it sounds hot. It sounds trendy. It sounds sexy. It's, oh yeah, as a company, we're authentic. Oh yeah. Authentic to what? I think for us, what it means to me at least is just being able to be yourself. And I know it's vague, but when you are yourself, you're making decisions that are true to you. And I always give this example. You have two options in life. I give you a graph. You look at the graph. If you input average decisions of your life every single day into that graph, you will have an average line. The dots will be a straight line going up. You'll grow over time. Now let's take that same graph and let's input unaverage decisions every single day of your life. So you just being you is unaverage, because no one could be you. No one could be me. Our DNAs are different. And our stories that we've had in our lives, our experiences have to be different. We don't live the exact same life. So if we just do that every day and have those on average, your statistic output will be outliers, points up, down, zigzag, big zigzags. At first, the zigzag looks ugly because you have points underneath the line. But when you really look at it, if you choose the perspective of, hey, every day I'm being on average is me being me, but I look at the losses or the failures in quotations as learning experiences or opportunities, then every single time I'm myself, I'm actually winning. I'll give you a great example. I only joined Midday Squares as the third founder when, before my partners launched it, they came to me like, we need you to be the face, build the brand, build the excitement. And the only reason why I joined them was not, again, I'm allergic to peanuts and nuts and all that stuff. I joined them because A, I believe in them. But number two was I was going through a very hard time in my life. At the time, my ex-girlfriend, after 4 years, broke up with me out of nowhere. I didn't know why she broke up with me. I still don't. But the idea is that I was so depressed from it. It was an L in my life. And if I didn't have that L, I wouldn't have joined Midday Squares. So that's one of the greatest L's I've gone through, or greatest failures in quotation, or learning as I call it. And that's what authenticity means to me, is being able to make those outlier decisions against all pressure, against all societal, you know, outcomes. And I think people look at authenticity in the wrong way and they just say, hey, it's a marketing tool, or it's a way to, you know, justify certain behavior. No. I think at the end of the day, if you're a good person, you're a kind soul, and you're authentic, you will win in whatever winning means.
Yeah, exactly. Because this is a discussion that we have too, is like winning and success mean so many different things to people. It could be time, it could be money, it could be freedom and all these different things, right? Have there ever been any instances where you were asked to, or maybe put in a position where you felt like you had to compromise your authenticity in order to build or to achieve success?
Yes. A year and a half ago, I got so lost. I was just trying to chase growth and no attention. So I went through a process where all I wanted was awards. All I wanted was media press. All I wanted was to be out there in the face of everybody. It didn't matter what I was doing. It just mattered that I was out there. And even if I hated it, and I did it and it burnt me out. Mm. I literally had to take 37 days off my life and sit in a bed. And I was at such rock bottom because I was so drained from it physically and mentally that I couldn't move. I was okay to continue sleep. The business was doing well, but I needed to step outside because I actually just didn't care about anything. I was rude to people around me, my best friends, my family, my wife, my friends, my family and all that jazz. And I realized something's off. And I realized that I was being inauthentic to me. And again, therapy and deep thought process and understanding yourself is really powerful. And I got back on track and now I'm like 95% back. But like the truth is I will not let myself get there again because it's really an uncomfortable feeling being inauthentic because it actually takes a lot more work and energy to tell a story that's not yours or to tell, you know, put on a persona that's not yours or be a business that's not true to its values and just says its values because it's on a wall.
Yeah.
It's energy consuming and it will collapse eventually. The empire will fall. It's just a question of when. And I think that that's where I've learned is when I am authentic, it takes less energy. I'm not lying. So I don't need to keep up with the lies. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. And again, now I'm actually, instead of comparing myself to people, I'm inspired by people. So like, again, I bring up the career thing. If you had a promotion in your career, I would be so happy for you because you've worked so fucking hard. I've watched you and in the time I've known you, you've gone up. And my old Jake would have been like, this is whatever, who cares? Now I respect your efforts, your work. I know how much time and love you put into it that to me, it's like, I want to be around him more. I want to be around that energy, that momentum. And again, that's just work on yourself. Like you need to work on yourself. None of us are perfect. And if you keep putting on a story that's inauthentic, it's going to catch up and can eat you alive one day. That's what midlife crises typically are.
It is true that it does take up a lot more energy to not be you than to be you. Obviously, it seems so obvious, but like, you know, in regards to authenticity, if you're swimming against the stream or with the stream, why wouldn't you go with it, right?
And recently I had I'm not perfect, by the way, and I'm not always authentic, but I know when I'm not and I bring myself back. The other day I said yes to something I shouldn't have said yes to, and I botched the whole thing. And I did it I tried to be the nice person by saying yes and doing a favor. And I knew inside, deep my gut told me, Jake, you're too tired to do this. You don't have the energy. You're not prepped. It was a speech at an event, at a very nice event. And I knew I wasn't authentic to me. And I did it. And I botched it. Like I was embarrassed. And I came home, I felt like filthy a little bit. And I was like, I looked at myself, I said, Jake, I knew the answer was no, but I still went and did it. And the results came back as not great, right? People were like, is everything okay? Like,
right.
So
right.
That's where authenticity plays a big role. And you also got to know when to say no.
Well, do you have a hard time saying no still at this point?
Yeah. I'm brutal. I'm brutal. I say yes to most things. I used to say yes to 100%. I'm probably at 70.
Well, you're very generous with your energy and your spirit and your time. But I guess, how has that... that word, what role has that word played in your life and where do you hope that it will play?
I hope I respect my time more. That's where the key is. I don't respect it enough. And I think that I just feel like the world's going to end sometimes. So I'm just like, I got to do it. But that's at the expense of my own mental health and my own personal health. So if I built Midday Squares to the biggest part it could be, and I'm so sick at the end of that, was it really worth it?
Yeah.
So that's where I've kind of like, my dream is to get to a point where I'm comfortable having the hard conversation of saying no. And it's not that I'm not going to do it in the future. It's that I just can't do it right now. And just that respect for yourself is, in my opinion, winning and freedom. And I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of saying no, so I was reading that, Midday Squares had an acquisition offer earlier from Hershey's. Why did you guys say no to that discussion and that dialogue?
So we were speaking with their M&A team, and I love Hershey's, by the way. Like, I'm a big fan of their... I think they built a legacy business. Now, I think they have things to work on, but crazy cool business. And no, we were not ready to sell our company years ago. we really believe that we can build it to a certain level and then decide what's next. Is it to continue? Is it to take the company public? Is it to buy out our current investors and give them a high return and then continue to grow this business? Is it to sell the company? I don't know. But we have our momentum, we have energy. And if you have that, why give it up? Why give it all up if you're having fun? Mm-hmm. And fun is a privilege, in my opinion. You do choose decisions to allow you to have fun and make your life, you know, a good life. But the choice for us was, we want to continue building this. And we believe we can continue going way further. We could impact more people. We could make more healthy chocolate bars. And I think that's all it is. It's a question, do you believe and do you want to be part of it still? Or are you ready to move on?
Yeah, yeah. And as a result of kind of those conversations, you know, in response, you guys created a music video called Chocolate Gone Crazy, a Hershey diss track, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But that was in response to kind of the situation, but also kind of a realignment of your values for yourselves and also contributed to the brand storytelling. How did that contribute also to the community building that, you know, and also the transparency that you guys talk about?
Well, yeah. So we had a bit of a situation where our packaging, they wanted us to change the color of our packaging. They believed that we were infringing on their packaging for Reese. And again, listen, if you're infringing on something 100%, you know, it's worth changing. But for us, we didn't want to go to courts. You don't have the money as a startup. It's not worth the time for anyone, for them, for us, anyone. So what we did was we actually responded back with a music video because that's authentic to who we are. And the idea was, we're creative people and we like to have fun. So can we have fun in a playful way? It wasn't a negative way. It was more just like the three founders, the two co-CEOs and are going to get on and do a music video. They don't even know how to sing, but like, it will just be fun and we'll have a good time. We spent $70,000. We tried to learn how to sing in a studio with an artist. And we did it to the song Hi, My Name Is, and it was a parody version of it. And we called it Chocolate Gone Crazy. And it was a great show to the world. It wasn't even to show to Hershey's, to be honest with you. It was just to show the world, hey, we're a fun company. We're bold. We like to have a good time. And in life, you don't just need to do the same thing that everyone else does. And that lives with us. And it was a fun moment. Maybe we'll do another music video soon. And we'll be we're a lot more equipped now.
Yeah.
A lot more resources and a lot more fun. But we're friends with the Hershey's team. We like them.
Yeah.
I really wish that they responded back with a music video. It would have been really fun. Because that's beautiful. You bring small business and large business together, you create really cool magic, right? Serendipity can come in. But that music video was just us having fun and us showing our community that we're bold and we're a good time.
Yeah. And again, going back to your, like, speaking to your authentic selves as a brand, right? In your moments of kind of where you have doubt or in those moments when you're asked to compromise on your authenticity, how do you reconnect with your own authentic voice and vision?
So I try to I feel tired when I'm doing that. Like, I swear I get like really deep exhaustion. And like at the end of the day, like that's one sign. And I'll just, I truly amp up my therapy. That's definitely a way to talk it through with someone that knows me very well and has professionally guided me. But people will tell me, like my close people will be like, what's up with you? And then it kind of like, it stems like, okay, if something's wrong, like what is it? And can I fix it? And you got to ask yourself questions. It's super important to ask yourself questions and see what's going on. But at the end of the day, like you're the only one that could change it. Like no one else can really force you to change anything, but it's not a fun feeling. It's not fun being somebody else or inauthentic or not being yourself, because again, it takes so much work and you'll eventually it will disappear because it's impossible to keep up with that hamster wheel.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely. Know? You know, speaking of the hamster wheel and like building on a CPG brand, it's the, you know, building a consumer packaged good company is notoriously difficult. It's a incredibly difficult space. Which factors do you think really drive success for new brands, including yourselves entering the space, outside of, I guess, maybe like brand storytelling? What are some things that you think really helps you get the wins in that space?
CPG is really hard. Consumer packaged goods, food and beverage specifically, is low margin business. So, you know, that's the problem. You need very, very high volume. And to get the high volume, you need the infrastructure. You need the manufacturing capabilities. You need the sales infrastructure. You're dealing with retailers. You're dealing with thousands of different retailers. So different ways of doing business, different placements. So for me, what I would say is is, number one, find partners that complement your skill set. So we're family, but we're not in business because we're family. We're in business, we're partners because we are the best at what we do and we complement each other's weaknesses. So, and we also see therapy to protect that partnership. So that's number one, find a good partnership. Number two, if you're going to go into CPG, I believe if your product's innovative and you can do your own manufacturing, it's very difficult, but your margin will be higher if you scale it. So for us, you know, right now we're at a 58 gross margin in our space, and our competitors at scale are like 42. They don't do their own manufacturing. So that 16% leeway gives you a lot of things to play with. And we still have room to go to higher. So I think those two things are critical. And last but not least is you need to block out noise. There is a lot of noise in this world. People that love you, people that hate you, they're going to tell you, oh, you should do it like this way. You have to do it like this. Oh, hire that person. Or they're not in the arena with you. So be very careful what goes in those ears and stays in. I love people around me that love me. I listen, but I don't necessarily take it in. And you and your gut are one of the most powerful things you have. Your subconscious is very strong. It knows things that you have no idea consciously about, but it gets feelings. And those feelings typically are right. So block out those noises and trust your gut. And again, I said delusional self-belief at the beginning and delusional optimism. Those two things will help you succeed. Even if you don't make it in your business, you're going to succeed after in whatever you do.
Right.
And accepting failure. Midday Scores can close tomorrow, and I don't want that to happen, but I'm okay with that outcome. I've come to terms with that.
Right, right. It is true, though, because a lot of the entrepreneurs and business owners that we speak with, you know, when I talk to them and ask them about what kind of advice they would give to their younger selves, a lot of it is like, don't start if they knew what was lying it's ahead. Painful. And so you have to have a little bit of delusion and kind of a sense of, you know, not being able to understand what's in front of you, because it is a really difficult path, but it's kind of that blind optimism and faith in yourself and what you're doing and your mission to really kind of be the thing that carries you forward.
And I think that you're right. Like, it's entrepreneurship is not sunshine and flowers. I think that sometimes you see it in the media, it's, oh, this sold for this amount of money, or they got on this press. Truth be told, it's painful, it's lonely, it's demotivating at times, it's depressing in moments, and that's fine, that's life. But you have a choice to do it, so it's a choice for you. And number two is, I find it's a privilege because it leads to a lot of freedom. And to me, the most valuable asset in the world is freedom to be yourself. And that's what this decade of entrepreneurship has given me. And that's why I will go through the pain and embrace it and not fight against the pain.
Yeah. Yeah. When we talk about, wins, this year, I saw on your Instagram, you know, Midday Squares locked in distribution through Costco, which it's funny because this actually came up at a really fancy dinner that I was at a few weeks ago about how rigorous the process of getting into Costco is, but like, what was that experience like for you? That's obviously a big win and can open up so many doors for you guys too as a gateway into this next level.
But yeah, Costco. So Costco is a necessary retail partner for us because the volume, it unlocks a lot of efficiencies for the business, and it also gives the best value to, one of the best values to our customers in terms of pricing for bulk buying.
Yeah.
But Costco, we have to prove ourselves. So we went on a roadshow, which basically means that you have to sample and sell because you got to prove to Costco and the members that they want the product and this is a product that would sell there. And I get it. If you're not a legacy brand, it's pretty hard to get in. You have to prove yourself. So what we did is we went on this roadshow and we asked what the record was, because we wanted to make sure that no matter how many of the roadshows we do, as long as we beat the record, the numbers don't lie. So yes, you'll want to take us in.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'll never forget, we did our first roadshow like a month ago, and it was at Costco Pointe Claire in Quebec. And the record was, I think, $80,000 in 12 days in one location. And we ended up doing 96,000. Sorry, not 12 days, 6 days. We ended up doing 96,000 in 6 days. And we broke it. And then now we're on our second run, which is happening right now as we speak. And we're doing extremely well there as well. And then we have two more to do by July, let's call it. And then hopefully we'll be actually launching into Costco's. That would be a dream, maybe like September.
Yeah.
Because we utilize community. We brought energy. We didn't just sample a product. We showed up with cameras. We showed up with
energy. Activated it.
Yeah, we made it an experience where people wanted to be part of it. And that's how you win. Costco is going to double our business. So why would we not put the love and effort and time and energy into giving it our all? Mm-hmm. And that's what our team did. We had all of our team members activated. We had our finance teams. We had our marketing teams. We had our customer teams. We had our R&D teams. We had our production associates all be part of this experience, and it's working. And I think that when you show up and you care and you put love into something, people feel that and want to be with that. So yeah, Costco will be a big win. We have some other major wins. I can't announce some of the partnerships, but some great partnerships coming very, very soon. And we turned profitable this year. So that was a really big win for Midday Squares.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and just momentum. Like, we had our highest sales month this month in terms of revenue. So the business is ready to go on its heater. But it took 5.5 years to get to this point. So 5.5 years of building pain and consistent pressure to get to this moment where hopefully the hockey stick curve actually starts to happen.
Yeah. Well, 5 years of also building up your fan base. And I was reading through the comments on some of your guys' Instagram posts. And you guys had people literally buying Costco memberships in order to come and support, which is, you know, pretty major that people are willing to put in the time, the energy to not only come support your product, but also buy a full-on membership and everything too, you know? Yeah, it's great to see.
They're part of the journey, and that's it. And without them, we have no business. So it's always got to be a two-way road between businesses and fans. Let's call it fans instead of customers.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think is the best advice that you have for other entrepreneurs or small business owners, especially who are struggling to understand how to find or harness their authentic voice?
I think that every entrepreneur, every professional, every artist should get a coach. And I call it therapist, but a coach, because it's an outsider that can help you see inside. And that's what they do for a living. So utilize the ability to have coaches. There's so many coaches all over that do this for a living. It's not embarrassing. It's not weak. It's not makes you lesser of if you don't go. Coaching makes you perform better. So wouldn't you want to perform better all the time? And I think that's my advice, is find a coach that will be with you on this journey, because it's a fucking lonely journey. Mm. No matter how much noise and attention you get, it's lonely because people aren't in your shoes. They're not in the arena with you. So when shit's going amazing, everyone's laughing and jolling and you're having a good time. But when shit hits the fan, the puck stops at you. So the pressure on your shoulders is immense. Coaching can help you, you know, bring out your authenticity, bring out your best self, and also help you develop, you know, the ability to find your superpowers and execute on those superpowers.
Yeah, definitely. Just as we wrap up here, so what's next for you guys? What are you most looking forward to for the rest of this year?
We're launching a brand new flavor coming out called Crunchy Peanut. It's coming out very soon, and it's going to blow up because it's like a Snickers or a Henry in terms of like taste profiles and textures, but Midday Square style. It's clean, real foods. And then we're launching great partnerships, and I think that the momentum swinging our way, that's what I'm excited for. I'm excited that we're finally getting a break. And what I mean by a break is not a lucky break, because you create your luck, but a break that it's going to get, Midday Square is going to get its chance to actually scale. And if it doesn't scale, then it will fail, and that's fine. But we're getting a real opportunity right now to hit that scale and stride through that hockey stick curve. So I think that that's what excites me most. And you got to try the new flavor once you see it. It's supposedly, I can't have it, but it's supposedly unfucking real. And it's coming to stores really soon.
Are there plans to create a nut-free version so that you can finally have your own product?
Yeah, so so our first flavor doesn't have nuts. So I've eaten our first original flavor, but the three others, and two of the three of those are our best sellers. I've never tried our best sellers. I can't have, but my dream is for Midday Squares, if we continue doing this for a very long time, is to have a nut-free facility. So we can create, you know, snacks that kids can take to school. And then people like myself who have allergies can actually taste the similar feelings to what nuts give to people. Nuts give great textures, great protein, great fats. You know, it's hard to replicate that. So hopefully innovation in the world, food world, the agriculture world can actually figure that out. Otherwise, we'll create some nut-free products because we already have the moms hooked. So they got to give their kids the bars as well.
Yeah.
We treat the mom, but now we got to treat the kid.
Yeah, exactly. What have you loved the most about being an entrepreneur in the last 5.5 years?
The freedom to do whatever the fuck I want. And I'm a good person, so I know when I do what I want, I'm not coming from a bad place or anything. So like, I trust myself in that sense, but entrepreneurship allows me to be the one that's, I'm holding myself accountable. That's what it is. It's me and I have to deal with it. The second thing that I'm proud of is we're doing something against the odds. So most businesses fail. So we're on a path and we have conviction to get to where we got to get to. And I think that would be a cool testament to do what, you know, less than 1% of the world can and does do. So that's what drives a little bit. It's not money. That's a byproduct, and I am a capitalist, but it's a byproduct of what winning is. To me, winning is leaving a legacy behind or people respecting you for what you're doing and what you're offering to the world, rather than, hey, here's $100 million. That's great. Don't get me wrong. I'll definitely use it well. But that's not what's driving us.
Yeah. Our podcast is called Mission Critical, and we talk about mission and purpose. So at the end of the day, if you could summarize it in a line, what is your mission?
My mission is to make people feel something deeply inside about them, to spread good energy every single day of my life, and to show everyone that the best path to winning is just to be yourself unconditionally.
I love that. And our publication is called Glory. What is your definition of glory? I feel like you actually just answered it in
Glory is freedom. When you're glorious, when you are free, you feel that energy. And I think that's the one word I would give it. Also, glory makes me just feel like a champion or something. Like, you know, like that's what I kind of feel when I hear that word.
Yeah. I love that. Thanks so much, Jake.
You're a rock star.
You know, you have so much incredible insight. And I think just you just remind people to kind of check in with themselves too, which I think is really important. So I really appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy schedule. No. But thank you so much. I know how busy you are, and I really appreciate you reaching out every time you're in town.
Yeah. You're a friend for life. And thanks for giving me a voice and Midday Squares.
It means a lot. Of course. If you don't mind, if you want to do a quick rapid fire.
Yeah, let's do it.
Quick little segment.
Yeah.
Yes, no questions or little short answers. Keep it fun and light. What is your best habit?
Reading 45 minutes every morning.
What's your worst habit?
Binge eating candy.
Productivity hack?
Wow. Sleep well.
Who would play you in a biopic?
You know who Martin Lawrence is?
Martin Lawrence?
The funniest guy. He's the funniest actor, and I feel like his energy and momentum is like mine, and I love that guy.
Okay. A lot of your social media content focuses around you doing a little shimmy here and there, a little dance with your retail partners, your friends. If you were challenged to a dance-off, what genre of music are you going with?
90s pop.
Do you have a band that you're going to pick?
I do like two bands. So Blink-182 is like what I listen to.
Okay.
But like Spice Girls is what I dance to.
Is there a track?
Like Stop Right Now is good. Also Wannabe is good. I love Spice Girls. Like they're rock stars.
Advice for your younger self.
Stop trying to be other people.
Advice that you're glad you ignored.
Can't build a chocolate company.
You're always traveling. So what's your, what's the biggest travel hack for yourself?
You need to work out when you land. No matter where you are, you need to go 10, 15 minutes, just get movement and it will save you.
Do you do that in your hotel room?
Yeah, walk. Like when I'm in New York, I walk around. Mm. Even if it's like Atlanta, 10 p.m., just walk around. Just get your blood flowing because you're coming off a plane. You're exhausted. This will just give you the endorphins and dopamine necessary to start the trip off.
Last one, guilty pleasure.
Sour Patch Kids is my favorite thing in the world.
Do the colors make a difference for you? Which one?
I like red and orange.
I like the red.
I don't like yellow. Yellow, get rid of yellow.
Awesome. I really appreciate that so much. Thank you so much for your time.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you liked, who you'd like to see on the show, and anything else you want to share. To keep up to date, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Until next time, ask yourself, what's your mission?